Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. During this time of year, my wife and I love watching Christmas movies and TV specials. We enjoy watching the classic and the remakes, although they have roughly the same ending and story. Take The Christmas Carol, for example. Whether it's done by Muppets, Chipmunks, or characters from your favorite TV show, it's essentially the same story, but done with a little twist. Even though you know the ending and the basic story, you still enjoy watching it to see the same story told in a different way, with different emphases and themes. And it's the same with the church's Christmas gospel. It's all the same retelling of events, but it's done in a different way, with each author showing his own emphases and points. Today, we're going to look at the other Christmas gospel. And it's not Matthew, it's not Mark, it's not Luke, we heard that last night, but John. For the book of John has its own Christmas story, and in it we see how God commits to us in our salvation through his Son taking on human flesh. The first chapter of John has a unique Christmas story. There are no shepherds, no singing angels or ones giving birth announcements. There are no evil kings, no wise men, and no young couples having their first child and placing him in a manger. Instead, John writes, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." In this short phrase, he captures the essence of the Christmas message, the Word taking on human flesh and blood, and he explains who this Word is. In verse 1, he says the Word is Jesus, who is God. He was present at creation, and all things were made through him. Nothing in this universe was made without him. He was the Word that spoke everything into existence. John says, this is the one who took on flesh. This is the one who dwelt among his people and who shows the glory of the Father. Jesus taking on human flesh, which we call the incarnation, shows a great commitment to us that we just don't often realize. When Jesus takes on human flesh, God goes all in for us and for our salvation. He shows a huge commitment to us. Just picture someone playing a game of poker and then pushing in a mountain of chips in for a bet. God goes all in for us because Jesus taking on human flesh is a permanent thing. Jesus taking on a human body was not a temporary endeavor, something that he was free from once his 33-year life was over. It's not something that he takes off in heaven and puts back on for special occasions like his second coming. Jesus is true man and true God. In him, the two natures are perfectly united. They're not mixed and one doesn't overpower the other. There is a perfect union in him. Jesus will never, ever, ever be separated from his body. And as a result, he dwells among his people in a way like never before. When Solomon dedicated his golden and immaculate temple, he said this, "But will God indeed dwell on earth? Behold, heaven and the highest heaven cannot contain you. How much less this house that I have built?" Wouldn't it be great to hear and see Solomon's reaction this week upon hearing the things that we heard and read? Just think, God did indeed dwell on earth through his Son. What a strange and challenging concept that might be for Solomon. That truth that in the helpless child in swaddling clothes in his mother's arms contains all the fullness and glory of God. It is this child, this God, who took on flesh for us. For the permanency and nature of the incarnation shows his commitment to our salvation. We are sinners who do not live perfectly to his standards, the Ten Commandments. And unfortunately, we don't even come close to it. We don't deserve Christ to take on flesh for us. But he does it anyways in light of our unfaithfulness to him. There is no reason for him to do this for us, especially. We don't give him a reason to because of our actions. But he knew that he needed to become a man for us to be saved. We needed him to live a perfect life for us so that we could be considered righteous. We needed him to bear our sin, its curse, and the wrath of God. He had to be true man to die in our place. and true God for His sacrifice to be applied to all. We needed the incarnation to happen. And here's the thing. He knew that taking on human flesh required Him to do this. He wasn't oblivious to what would happen, nor did God hide to Him the plan of salvation. He knew all along that He had to die. Musician Aaron Shue summarizes this perfectly in his song, My Savior, My God, when he says that He would leave His place on high and come for a sinful man to die. You thought it strange, so once did I, before I knew my Savior. We know our God and Savior. His commitment to us and our salvation should not be surprising when you have a God as loving and caring as ours, because He gives us what we need. John writes, and from His fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth through Jesus Christ. God gives us grace upon grace, which means we receive an abundance of it. We need His grace, which is His undeserved mercy and kindness. We didn't need another lawgiver like Moses, because we can't even keep the first law that was given. Rather, we need grace, and lots of it, which we receive through faith in Christ, for He lived a perfect life and died for you and for me and rose again on the third day. We receive forgiveness through faith in Him and in His supper, where the Son of God dwells among us this very day. In with and under the bread and wine is the very body and blood of the One who came to save us some 2,000 years ago. With this meal, He continues to give us His gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation, and He reaffirms that commitment to us. But we also see in His incarnation not just a commitment to our salvation, but to us personally as well. John writes, but to all who did receive Him, who believed in His name, He gave the right to become the children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. He came not only to save us, but to make us His children as well. His incarnation shows that it was His plan and will to have you be God's child. It was fully intended. He actually wants us. He wants you. He wants me. And He takes us as we are, broken, sinful, imperfect human beings with problems and flaws, and He makes us His own. For in His incarnation, we find the assurance of the blessings of being God's child. For if Jesus became man for you, won't God, as your Father, take care of you both in body and in soul? If Jesus became a man for you, won't God keep your best interest in mind and do all things for your benefit in Jesus Christ? Won't He be with you not only in the good, but also in the bad? Won't He continue to show you His love, mercy, grace, and truth unconditionally? Jesus became a man for you. Of course He will continue to do these things. The permanency of the incarnation shows the permanency of these promises. And God gives us this right to be His child through the gift of faith, which He creates in us through His word and baptism. Over the last few days, we've all received and have given gifts, but our gifts often come with stipulations or even motives behind it. It is common courtesy to try to give a gift in return of about equal value to those who give us a present. It might even be discussed beforehand what the limits of the gift giving might be. You might say, oh, well, the limit's $50. Try not to exceed that. Sometimes we may even feel compelled to give gifts because it's Christmas. And even from the fact it would be rude not to give them a gift because you gave others ones as well. Fortunately, though, God understands the art of gift giving. Becoming His child is a free gift through faith, in which He demands nothing of us. Faith receives what God gives. God gives us His Son freely and shows us His faithfulness through Jesus. Other Christmas stories really are a good thing. It is helpful to hear the same story told in a different way, and that is the beauty of John's Christmas message this morning. His gospel has the same ending, but a different beginning. For from it, we learn and see new aspects of the Christmas story that we often miss or just don't get as clearly. For when Christ became man, God shows us an enduring and permanent commitment to us and to our salvation. The Word has become flesh and dwells among us. Let us meet Him at the altar. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the grace of God and the peace that surpasses all understanding guard your hearts and your minds in and with Christ Jesus, the one who dwells among us. Amen.